1 Corinthians chapter 5 tonight, if you'd please turn there. First Corinthians chapter 5. Tonight we're going to attempt to look at verses 9 through 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. The Bible says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that we, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His Word. Let's pause just for a moment. Our Father, we come tonight in the marvelous, wonderful name of Jesus, the only name under heaven whereby a person can be saved. God, we quote that. We've memorized that. Lord, my heart tonight, Lord, I want to challenge my brothers and sisters. Do they really understand what all that means? I pray as we begin tonight in verse 9, Lord, and as we'll go over to the Old Testament and look at a marvelous picture of what it really means to be saved, Lord, I pray that you would use it tonight to encourage us. Remind us that what we have in salvation, how precious it is, how eternally safe we are. And God, I pray tonight that you would use this message to cut away those calluses on our hard hearts. Lord, that you would revive us, make us passionate once again for the Lord Jesus. For it's in His name we ask and pray these things. Amen. In verses 9 and 10, I want us to just spend a few moments. We've already looked at this somewhat, but I want us to go back just for a moment. Yes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Y'all need to get on the same page. I don't know what y'all are doing. Did I say Corinthians? Sure. That says 1 Thessalonians. Well, I bet y'all be real excited when you get over there, because then it'll all make sense. I'm telling you what's the truth. I hope they put me in the right jet next week. I'll say, where are we going? We're going to the moon. This is the wrong plane, buddy. Well, Miss Linda, I appreciate your honesty, and the rest of them are just chickens. So how's he going to make all that work? Y'all want to read again just for fun, just so y'all know where we are? Okay, go ahead. I'll wait for you. No, I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians. You know, I did say Corinthians, didn't I? Just rewound the tape. I bet Gary was getting tired back there. He's trying to figure it out himself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. Amen. "For our God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." May the Lord add a blessing to that reading, because everybody got that one. Amen. Our salvation is both now and not yet. Why is this statement true? Now and not yet. Because in God's mind, there's no such thing as time. Now listen carefully. We live in the here and now, but God spans all of time because of His sovereignty. He rules the past from the beginning of time and will continue His sovereign rule when time shall be no more. Because Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. Now, here's some basic theology. God has called you by His divine decree. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Paul writes that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into His kingdom and glory. There was an invitation. There was an appointment. Chapter 4, verse 7 of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. There again is that divine edict. He has called us. God has purposely delivered us from having to face His wrath. Now, let me give you a definition of the word wrath. It's the Greek word orge, but it's simply this. This is not a momentary outburst or rage, but it is a settled attitude that God will measure and pour out upon the unbeliever. It's a measure of judgment. Go to Romans chapter 2, look in verse 4. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. God has a settled disposition against sin and unbelievers, those who reject His salvation. Romans 2, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Verse 5 is powerful. After thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Ladies and gentlemen, understand that when it comes to God's wrath, now for the believer, He has not appointed us unto wrath. That ought to cause you to just shout to your horse. That ought to cause you to praise Him, be grateful for Him, to Him. You say, why is that? Because you didn't have anything to do with your salvation. Nothing. The only thing we brought to the table was our sin, our wickedness, our ungodliness, our unrighteousness. You say, why are you using that? Because you need to understand the gravity of what we were outside of Christ. Folks, we're not just good, you know, moral people that, you know, we made a couple mistakes and maybe we took a towel from, you know, the Holiday Inn one day and, you know, and maybe we got a cookie. No. We are depraved. We are hellish. We are more. We just got issues. No. You are lost outside of God. God called you unto Himself. God has taken the initiative. Think of this. What if you invited somebody to come to your house and you wanted to just bless them and give them and take care of them and just pour out your love and just really be all over. And you kept inviting them. And not only did they say, no, thank you, but they made fun of you. Now, how long do you think that would last that you keep inviting them? But see, God's grace keeps inviting them to come to the table. Thank God, because I can remember the times I said, no, thank you. But God, He chose not to accept that from me because His love never stopped coming to me. Folks, we ought to be the most grateful human beings on the face of the earth as God's children. God has a settled disposition. When it comes to sin and it comes to unbelief, God says, I'm going to measure. Listen, the stubbornness of your heart, He says, you are literally, He says, you're going to weigh out my wrath against you one day because of your unbelief. It's almost like we're self-destructing. We're the one. We're controlling how much, literally, God's wrath that we're going to get one day. He's going to measure his wrath. You say, well, good grief, David. I mean, you know, what about the person that was never bad? They're still going to have to face the wrath of Almighty God. And what does the wrath of God look like? Go back in the Gospels and read the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, what's the picture? From 12 to 3, when God blacked out all of creation, God literally turned his back on his son. That was a man dying without God. No sunlight. The pain's excruciating. There's no relief. Just pure agony on the cross. That is a picture of man without God. Is that God was pouring out the wrath, his wrath upon Jesus for the sins of all of mankind. But those who reject what Jesus did, they will have to pay and they will have their own sins weighed out upon them and the wrath of God will be upon them. Now, you know what the first thing some people are going to say? Well, my stars, where is the love of God? Oh, the love of God is here tonight, beckoning you, calling you, doing everything he can to woo you unto himself so that you don't have to face the wrath of God. Folks, go back, if you would, to chapter 5, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. We could go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We know that. Verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God is, from beginning to the end, salvation is all his. Salvation proceeds from God's appointment. All religions, and that's a bold statement, all religions outside of Christianity, listen, in the last analysis, they present people with something that they must do in order to be saved. Christianity alone tells us that all has been done. Our sins have been taken away through the shed blood of Christ. God's purpose for us is not his wrath, nor is there any retribution awaiting us at the end of life. There's no judgment. Romans 8 says there's no more condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Now, here's where we struggle. And my goal tonight is I want you to leave here with a hot heart, passionate and zealous for what Jesus, excuse me, has done for you. For you. not you know, well, you know, preacher, that's great. No, you. What did he save you from? Your sin. Now, and the first thing we do, well, you know, I'm looking around here. I'm not as bad as some of these other people in here. You can't even go there. Why? The Bible says that you were dead in your trespasses and sin, Ephesians 2:1, until God did what? He quickened you. You were dead. There was no hope. You were dead. If God would have left you alone, you would have died and gone to a sinner's hell, and you would one day, after the resurrection of the dead, you would stand before Almighty God at the great white throne, and you would have to face his wrath. But God in his love, he never gave up on you. And you know, this is where we are. I think the people who really understand that are the people who have been given up on. They know what it means to be reconciled. They know what it means to have hope when there was no hope. They know what it means to be loved when they were never loved. I heard a story last night about a 12-year-old girl who had been sold three times, 12 years old. She'd been sold three times for drugs. Whoever was in charge of her sold her so they could get drugs. Sold her into prostitution. Sold her, and she's just been somebody's sexual toy. Then lastly, the biological father shows up, takes custody of her, and then he molests her. And finally, the state got into it, and now she's in a Florida Baptist children's home. But now here's the thing. You say, well, thank God for that. Wait a minute. What about the scars? The world tells her that she's broken. Nobody wants her. She's used goods. She's tainted. Pray that God will put somebody in her life that loves Jesus and that can see her in Christ and can reconcile her and show her what true love is about. It's not what you do, it's who you are. It's not what you can, no, it's just who you are. And God loves you for who you are. The song that we hear, the Billy Graham Crusade, "Just As I Am." But see, folks, if we're not careful, we compartmentalize our salvation, we compartmentalize our Christianity, and we say, well, you know, well, I used to be like that, and I'm working on this. No, you can't. We can never get away from the cross. Because if not, then you know what goes out the door? Humility. And then all, you know, and being broken and remembering what it was like to be lost and without. And being without the very fact that, you know, that God loves me. You know, we hear it all the time. We say, well, I know God loves me. We say it with such arrogance. Hear my heart tonight. You know, the most fired up person who's witnessing is someone who's never forgotten what it was like to be lost. Because I don't look down anybody's nose. Listen, I am so grateful to God what He's done to me. And I can look at them with hope and I can say, you know what? He changed me. He can change you. I promise you He can change you. And I'm not going to get in competition about who is the worst sinners. We're all sinners. But God can change you. He can give you a brand new heart. He can give you hope. Listen, the power of His Spirit will wipe away that guilty conscience. God will make you brand new. He will love you like you've never been loved ever before. God will never give up on you. And that's what people need to hear. But if we come around and say, you know, if you don't turn or burn, you're going to die and go to hell. That's what's going to happen to you. You're going to get right or get left. And there's no passion in it. We forgot what it was like to be lost. We forgot what it was like to be unloved. We forgot what it was like to just think for the moment that, boy, God is angry at me and I deserve everything I get because that's who I am. No more excuses. No more justifying. No more trying to rationalize. No more competition. Well, I'm just, no, none of that. Just simply, Lord, I am lost and undone without You. I am grateful that You saved me. You have washed away my sins. Lord, if You never do another thing in my life, I will be one satisfied customer all the way to heaven. But how hard is it to stay there? For some reason, somewhere in there, we get to the point where we think, well, you know what? I think God owes me something. That's us. I worked hard. I mean, I put my time in. Lord, I mean, when are You going to bless me next? Now, let me tell you something. We may never verbalize that, but you know what? That's the way we live our lives. Why is that? Well, I'm telling you, if the mountains aren't just beautiful and everything's fine, we come in here and we say, well, how's it going? Hey, just another day. I'm just trying to get my way to heaven. I just can't hardly wait to get there. Oh, I can't wait to go with you too, darling. You can see that, man. We're going to get to heaven and say, woo-hoo! All right, we're here. Now what are we going to do? I knew it wasn't going to be like I thought it was going to be. I told you. I knew that preacher. He don't know what he's talking about. Look at all this. All these people up here. Oh, now I got to go shake hands and hang out. You think I'm crazy? I'm telling you. But how easy do we just slip into that? What am I saying? If we don't keep our hearts tender, and we don't remember, and we forget, then I'm telling you something. Something happens to us, folks. And when we read a verse like this, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath," glory to God. He called me by my name, had a divine appointment with Him. God Almighty, who created everything that we can see and everything we can't see, He had His eye, His heart, His mind. He called my name. Because the Bible says in John 6:60, if He doesn't, 6:44, if God doesn't call you, you can't come. But He called you. Boy, that ought to take the strut right out of us. Verse 10. Who died for us? Who? Go back. But to obtain salvation by or through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. And here's God's whole plan. Here's that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. You know, God wants you to live with Him in all eternity. Heaven. Okay, heaven. Eternity. God wants you to come and be with Him. The God who's holy, the God who's sovereign, the God who's mighty to save, He wants you, sir, you, ma'am, He wants you to come and live with Him for all eternity. Folks, when you tell that to our friends over in Southeast Asia, you see, because half of them 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 15 months ago, they didn't even know there was a God who even cared about them. And now they hear the story how that God sent His Son to pay our sin debt in full so that we could live with God for all eternity. And all that God asks that we do, all that God asks, He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us the Word. He wants us to just stay in fellowship with Him. He wants us to act like He does. Love, be kind, be gracious, be gentle. All the people. And they looked and said, that's what He wants? How easy is that going to be? But that's the whole gospel plan right there. Who died for us? Watch verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Two things in verse 11. He says, comfort yourselves together. Now, how in the world do you do that? Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Verse 22. Hebrews 10:22. It's talking about the fact that we have a high priest who's over the house of God. That's the Lord Jesus. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Who are we coming? We're coming unto our high priest, who is our elder brother, the Lord Jesus. In full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's the pure water of the Word. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. He that is faithful promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, sometimes when you see that word provoke, you know, you think about don't provoke him. Don't get him mad. Don't get him upset. Don't upset her. Here he says, provoke unto love. You know what that is? The word there, it's you intentionally do that. You've heard say, I'm going to love you whether you like it or not. That's what he's talking about. Verse 25. Now, how can we provoke unto love and good works? There it is. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What's the day approaching? The day of judgment, because we know it's coming. Now, this is first century. But yet they knew. Listen, in the wicked world that they lived in the first century, they knew that life could not continue the way it was without God having to come and just bring judgment. Comfort yourselves, he says in verse 11, back in 1 Thessalonians 5. And then he says, and edify one another, even as also you do. He says, you're doing this, but continue to do it. Edify. Now, what does that mean? Build up. Folks, let me ask you something now, and we're getting ready to wrap this up tonight. How can you build up somebody? How can you edify somebody? How can you encourage them if you don't know them? But if we assemble together, we spend time together, we have fellowship together, and you know, I'm talking going beyond the Sunday school class now. That's how you get in. It's not being nosy. It's not being, you know, all that. It's just that you know what's going on in somebody's life. You know. And listen to me. I'm not talking about illness. I'm talking about trials. You see, I'm the shepherd, so I know a lot about a lot. And that helps me not only to pray for you, but it also helps me when the Lord's writing these sermons, Because by the way, these aren't mine. They're His. That's why they speak to your heart and to your need where you are right now. Because I'm not that smart. I'm just a messenger. Yet the things that I do know, I know the struggles. I know the heartaches. I know the frustrations. I know the things that just push you almost right to the edge. That's why I remind you, God's never going to give up on you. God cares for you. He knows where you are. He knows what your needs are. But what do I tell you the most? What do I always challenge you with? You've got to walk with Him. You need to honor Him with your life. You've got to learn to trust Him. He's the only one who knows what tomorrow holds. He's the only one who can keep your heart from being just crushed. He's the only one who can do that. Love Jesus. Back to what I started tonight. It's one thing to say, well, I know I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Okay, that's good. That's all the cliches. But here's the question. Do you really know it down in your heart? I can remember the first few months I was saved, and on Wednesday nights we'd have a little testimony, and Brother Harold said, anybody got a praise? And most of the guys in that church at that time, we were all young. There was a herd of us. I'm telling you, we were all guys all about the same age. And Mom, Claire, and Faye, they remember this. We'd stand up, and a little about maybe 100 of us. It wasn't very many. It was a little old church up there on the west side of Jacksonville. And we'd stand up and we'd say, I just want to thank God that I'm saved. And I'm telling you, I mean, and not a person in there couldn't stop from crying because they knew what they were saved out of. And Brother Harold said, don't ever get over being saved. Don't ever forget what it was like to be lost. And I'm not a crier, but I'm telling you, it just messed me all up. Why? Because it's not a ball game and it's not this and that. I'm talking about somebody has been radically, their life has been radically changed. They are not the same person. And they are grateful for that. Grateful to the point that they would stand up in a little old church and say, I am grateful to God that He saved me. I'm saved. And it's not just words, but I mean just, I am so thankful that He saved me. He didn't have to, but He wanted to. Folks, guard your heart. Jesus said, for out of it come the issues of life. It's hard to get calloused. It's hard to come where we're just automatic in our faith. We've got to get where we're spontaneous again. We've got to get where we're sensitive to the Spirit of God. Even to the point where, and see, some people think this is silly. Lord, you want me to turn to the right or the left up here? Is that foolish? I don't think so. We did that in China. I do it when I'm going someplace and I'm lost. I said, Lord, I'm not about to ask anybody. My pride's in the way. But Lord, will you tell me which way to turn up here? My wife fixed me, though. She gave me a Garmin. Now my grandson teaches me how to use it. I can. What are you doing with this thing now? What's this agreement thing? I'm not buying anything. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to pray. Do you really love Jesus? Do you really love Him? Now, don't just say, oh, yeah, yeah. Wait. Don't get on a rah-rah because there's another question that comes behind that thing. By the way, this was in Oswald's Chambers yesterday, if you read that. Do you love Him? Yes, I do. Are you keeping His commandments? Well, then you don't love Him. You don't know my heart. No, I don't. But see, that's always the ask. Jesus says, if you'll love me, you'll do what? You'll keep my. Don't expect God to embrace with His holy love something that's sinful in your life, because He won't. And because He won't, that means you're out of fellowship. Because He cannot embrace. Because it's His nature. He's holy. He can't embrace unholiness. You're asking God to bless your mess. You're asking God to bless this. And you have no desire whatsoever in your heart to repent. See, I don't know that. But the Spirit of God does. Because you read Romans 8, it says He's the one that searches the heart and the spirit of man. You know what that tells me? You know what that tells me? Not as a pastor, but you know what it tells me as an individual child of God? God is not kidding. He's not playing, David. He's going to go all the way down to the depths of your heart and find out whether or not you mean business or not. And by the way, He has every right to do that because He's God and He's holy. Do you love Him? Ask the other question. Lord, I love You, but I don't know about this commandment. Well, you know what? Then you don't really love Him. You got to be honest, because the first step in being reconciled is honesty. Because after honesty and confession and repentance comes brokenness and humility. And the safest place for a child of God on the face of the earth is on our knees in front of our Savior. Broken. No rights. No claims. Thy will be done. Trust in Him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the magnificent name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come. I challenge, Lord, these good people to fall before You in honesty and humility. And Lord, help us to stay there until You say we're right with You. Not when we think we are, but when You say we are. In the Old Testament, it was always the priest who pronounced that someone was clean. Lord Jesus, You're our high priest. Help us not to even for a moment think that we know our own hearts. The Bible says no man knows his own heart. Lord Jesus, help us to slow down and honor You. Not with our lips, not with our service, but with our hearts. Because, oh God, when the heart's right, Lord, the prayers of the children of God can move heaven and earth. When our hearts are right, our witness is believable. When our hearts are right, we'll sing better, we'll preach better, we'll teach better. When our hearts are right, there's no more games. Thank You for being so patient with us. Thank You for not giving up on us. In Your name we pray. Amen.